Welcome to the Chat with Father Matt. Every week we'll chat about the faith with various people. We plan to keep the show light and interesting, and we'll even sometimes get off topic, but we'll always try to be a beacon of light. If you have a subject you'd like to discuss on the show, just send us an email at vicar@fortrecoverycatholics.org or Facebook at Fort Recovery Catholic Cluster. Welcome back to the Chat with Father Matt. I have with me Father Sean Wilson, one of my closest classmates in area for the Archdiocese of Cincinnati. He's stationed in Wapakoneta, Freiburg, Botkins, and Rhiney. That takes a lot of land covering all those parishes. How you doing, Father Sean?
I'm doing well. Yeah, we're in multiple counties out here. I guess you probably have parishioners in multiple states, but we can't quite top that.
That's true. I didn't think that we were better than you that way, too, man. No.
Better? I don't know about better.
Whoa, man. We just started off with this show, and now we're going deep into things. No, it's good. Yeah, we got people from Portland, from Salamonia. Salmonia?
Where is that?
It's a little small town in between the state line and Portland.
Okay.
I think there's just houses there now that kind of declare that land. I think there was a business at one point that kind of made it what it was.
Yeah.
But you at one point crossed the one pit church that you took up, Freiburg, it crossed the I-75 expressway to be joined up with another parish, right?
It did, but we were already across because Rhiney's on the east side of 75 too.
Oh, really? Huh.
Yeah.
Good thing I know my directions.
Yeah, you know, it's, I just try and get there, you know. GPS can get you anywhere.
That's true. But you're a man of maps also. You love your maps.
I do. It's kind of embarrassing how much I like maps. But, you know, for an ordination gift, somebody got me an Auglaize County and a Shelby County map. That's how much they know I like maps.
Wow, man.
So,
I just don't like clutter, so I'm glad I have those things on my phone so I don't have to get out another map or another atlas to figure out where I'm going.
Right.
Sometimes it leads me astray, but most of the time it works pretty well for me.
Now, do you ever run into the fact where you try and punch in an address and it turns out you've got no cell service and you don't have any data where you can't find your way?
That, yes. Then I just usually turn around and go back until I can find that data or find and then start from there and then hopefully get to the spot I need to be.
Yeah, but such is life, huh? Mm-hmm.
But on Google Maps, there's you can star things so to kind of remind you where you're going to go. And usually it kind of doesn't need data to figure that out for you sometimes.
Okay.
So that's kind of that's saved me a couple times.
I know you can use a map without data somehow.
I guess that's what I'm doing too. I know I'm definitely doing that for my Rome trip. Is going to save the whole city of Rome because you don't have to use data and you can still have the wireless on and the blue dot will show up and tell you what street you're on. And you can at least figure out what direction you need to go to get to where you want to go.
That's nice. So are you going to do a live radio show from Rome?
You know, I haven't thought about that yet. Well, we could look into that and see.
You could Skype in.
Skype works everywhere, doesn't it?
That's what they say.
And, you know, my parents, they could be, you know, guests on the radio show since I'm going to Rome with them. I know Mom would love that one.
Oh, man. You would have, you'd have, a quadruple show. It would just go on forever.
Well, yeah. Hopefully it's not 2 hours. Hello, Mom. You've been asking for the next podcast, so here it comes. We're going to talk about you. Great. So, what are we going to talk about today, Father Sean?
Well, whatever you want. But, you know, I was up in Lima earlier today and had to anoint a couple people, some parishioners, and I thought, you know, that's probably a good topic. Is that all right
sure.
with you?
That sounds good. Talking about the sacraments is always a great thing.
Yeah.
We just talked about the Mass last night through Bishop Barron's Catholicism series.
Oh, nice.
I mean, you can hear all kinds of things about the Mass, but you always seem to pick up another thing whenever you have conversations about the Mass or someone else explaining the Mass to you. So I'm sure we'll pick up something great or something cool to learn about the sacrament of the
Holy Eucharist.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to learn.
I'm right there with you.
Yeah.
So, But yeah, it's wild because it's one of the things that we now do as priests, right? We never anointed. You know, I watch people been anointed. Sure.
We practice it. We said the words and stuff, but
yeah, we practice.
I wasn't going to go there, but you might go there.
Yeah. Do you remember the time in class when we were practicing and one of our classmates really did pass out?
I do. Because I was the one anointing.
You were the one anointing. Yeah, he felt it coming. He stood up and then just boom, down he went.
So I guess the Holy Spirit works through your hands even if you're not ordained, you know?
Has that happened again since?
No.
Huh. That's probably good.
Sure. I did anoint someone yesterday, actually, and she... I thought she, you know, wasn't responsive, so I tried waking her up and whatever. Didn't respond. I went through the whole anointing, and then as I did the Lord be with you and blessed her, she turned her head and her eyes opened up and then just got really big. So I don't know if, like, she was super surprised that she saw a priest or that Jesus was right in front of her. I have no idea. And then just her eyes closed and went back to her sleeping position. So that was pretty interesting.
Yeah,
it's amazing what kind of spiritual realm is out there around us, and we have no idea and can't see that.
I know. You never know what the Lord's doing.
Mm-hmm.
You never know. So it's one of the, you know, because we run into, I don't know, especially cold season. You think about how many sick people we run into.
Mm-hmm.
Sickness is just one of the bummers about, you know, living.
Like, sure. Sure.
You know, my dad's coming on the backside of pneumonia right now, and he is just, you know, it's just miserable. And it, you know, it just reminds us how powerless we are, that despite all of this, you know, medical progress, all the research, all the billions of dollars put into medical research, we still can't figure out how to cure the common cold.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that wild? Just a reminder of our own powerlessness,
sure.
You know, and then you got bigger issues with, you know, things that are life threatening like cancer that we can't, you know, we can treat pretty well now, depending on the kind of cancer. But, you know, some of it we still can't. So you do your best to manage. So it's just amazing. You know, sickness is one of those basic things about being alive that you have to go through.
Yeah. I mean, I hear people get pneumonia, like I thought they were just old people that, you know, couldn't walk around and stuff, but this year I've heard so many people that are like alive and not alive, but doing well and, you know, going on with their everyday life and being struck with pneumonia. And we can't even figure out, well, I mean, we're solving it. We're kind of curing it and stuff, but why are people getting pneumonia in everyday life?
Right. It's wild. But then, you know, it can kind of take you in two directions. You think about when you're sick. You know, and there's some days I see this in myself. You know, if I get sick, I just don't feel like doing anything.
Sure.
I get kind of, you just get down on yourself. Mm-hmm. You're just going to despair a little bit. And then you start to bicker with God. You know, you complain. You're like, Lord, how'd you let this happen? I thought you were good and powerful. So why don't you do something about it? So that's one direction you can go, or you can go the other. You know, you can kind of make us question a little bit, make you more mature, help you to be stronger so that you can endure suffering. And also kind of as you can thoughtfully reflect on what's important in life. You know, you see a lot of people who, you know, you hear of deathbed conversions.
Sure.
As people approach death, or as you have like a grave illness, especially in the family, it can draw the family together. Says, you know, well, we remember that our family is what's important. It also can draw you closer to the Lord because you realize, you know, maybe you weren't living for Him, or maybe you'd kind of gone the other way. So it's sickness can take you away from God, especially if we blame Him. But a lot of times it has the power to draw people back.
Yeah. Power is really strong too. I've seen some awesome conversions through sickness.
Yeah, but you know, with the common cold in me, that's always a regression in my spiritual life.
Just seek out that zinc and vitamin C and try to douse your body with it so it can just remove whatever that is the common cold is.
Yeah, celebrating Mass with a cold is no fun either. You know, here I go complaining again, but
I don't know if I've had a cold necessarily, but I had allergies.
In
August or something like that. Man, I could barely like see. My eyes are watering so much and my nose is all stuffed up. It's like hard to look at the missile and figure out what you're doing.
Do you think people thought you were crying because you were just so enveloped with what's going on at Mass?
No, because I think I complained to them at the beginning of Mass. I think I have allergies, so make do with what I'm doing today.
Yeah. That's funny. That is funny. Yeah. So we've all, you know, in this sickness stuff goes back a long ways. It's, of course, it's nothing new. You think about Jesus's time that Jesus heals people all the time. And, you know, my favorite one in the Bible, it's definitely up there, is the guy who is paralyzed and he's got his four friends bring him to Jesus.
Yeah.
They get it. And Jesus is in the house. They get there and the whole place is just packed. So they can't even get the guy in the front door. So they do what is like just remarkable is they go and they bust down the roof and then drop them down below the roof, which just imagine being one of those people sitting in there.
Sure. What the heck is going on?
Yeah. You get some dirt falling on you, some thatch from the roof, right. And you're just like, what? So Jesus then, he meets this guy and first, which people are just baffled by, he forgives his sins. And people are like, how can you do that? What are you doing? He's actually paralyzed. What are you doing with this forgiveness of sins? And then he heals the man and the man can walk and the man walks away. And just baffling. But it's a sign, though. You think about that healing, the physical healing of the guy getting up and walking is our Lord showing that he has the power to do this, that the physical healing is a sign of a much deeper spiritual healing, the forgiveness of his sins that's already happened inside of him. So it points to something greater. That physical sign points to the healing of his soul, which, you know, he needed because, well, we all needed. Mm-hmm. So it's what a great story that is, huh?
Yeah, I mean, and like the Pharisees and the Sadducees just always blame Jesus for using his, well, they blame the devil that's working through him and stuff. And then Jesus is just like, well, if I can forgive him physically, then I'll also say your sins are forgiven also. And that just gets him more riled up for blaspheming God. But yeah, God can heal all.
Right. And yeah, they just get so bent out of shape because they think, you know, only God can forgive sins. Mm-hmm. And Jesus says, yeah, here he is in your presence.
Get up and walk.
Yeah. So then, you know, so Jesus goes around and he heals. You know, we've got so many great stories about our Lord healing, whether it's the woman who was, this is great. I think there's this gospel yesterday. The woman who had been
2 days ago, yeah.
Yeah, the woman who had been bleeding for like 18 years. And I love the line in there in Mark's gospel that she'd wasted all of our money on doctors.
Yeah, and, right.
You know, it's just kind of funny because I love doctors. They do great work. But it's, you know, some people get in that situation where they've spent a lot of money and not gotten a whole lot.
Very much so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So our Lord goes around and heals people. And then he passes it on. You know, he tells his disciples that you're going to do this too. So he sends them out. You remember also in Mark's gospel, we're getting there in the daily mass readings, mm-hmm. where he sends them out two by two. And he tells them in Mark 6:13, they drove out many demons and they anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. So our Lord sends them out just like he was out and sends them out to heal other people. So it's part of the Lord's mission, his healing mission that's carried on in his ministers, in his believers, his disciples, and his, you know, as we understand, to his priests. So, yeah. Isn't it wild to get to kind of share in that?
It's amazing to actually be asked to be that person of Christ and share the ministry that Christ has given us.
I know.
I haven't seen any physical healings through the anointings, but I definitely think there's been some spiritual healings. Not necessarily in the one that was sick, but the people that were gathered around for the anointing itself. It's quite amazing.
Yeah, it has a great power to draw people together.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
You know, because everybody realizes they're on the same boat, that they need God.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's a family member who hasn't darkened the doors of a church in a while, or mm-hmm. it's the one who's there all the time.
Yeah.
It just has a great ability to strengthen faith. So then, you know, we get this sacrament that's passed on. You know, the oil is what's used in the anointing of the sick. Mm-hmm. And that's basically found hook, line, and sinker, all rooted in the letter of St. James. Yeah, so we say, you know, the church says that the sacrament of the sick was instituted by Christ and then promulgated by St. James. Makes sense.
The big word, promulgated, yeah.
Yeah, promulgated by St. James. So this is what the letter James has to say in chapter 5, verses 13 to 15. Is anyone among you suffering? He should pray. Is anyone in good spirits? He should sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? He should summon the presbyters of the church, think priests of the church, the elders is kind of how that's translated, and they should pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick person, and the Lord will raise him up. If he has committed any sins, he will be forgiven. And we recite those lines every time we celebrate the sacrament.
Yeah.
You know, it's all just right there and what the people are and what happens at the sacrament. It's mm-hmm. just awesome. Mm-hmm. Who would have not thought the letter of St. James would be so important?
That's true. I mean, most of the other sacraments you see through the gospel.
Yeah.
And that's where we kind of quote. Right. All of Paul, too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think after this podcast, anybody's going to name their child James?
Maybe.
In honor of the anointing of the sick?
That would be awesome. We should. But there are a lot of women that are pregnant in our little town. It's pretty awesome to see all of the baptisms that are going on in our town. We have like 20-something marriages, and I think we baptize over 100 kids. So, I think we have a good chance we might get a James in there.
Yeah.
Hint, well, anyone listening?
Yeah, go for James.
Sure.
Yeah. So you get to do all those baptisms. Isn't that kind of wild where you kind of bring people into this world, into their life as faith, mm-hmm. and then you kind of send them on their way with the sacrament? Because one of the, you know, the church gives some of the effects of the sacrament of the sick, and one of them is to prepare for death.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's part of what this sacrament does, is it prepares the soul for eternity. That it's perfectly fitting for them and purify their soul, forgive sure. their sins, and get them ready for eternity.
Yeah, and the priest can be a part, like his day could have all of the aspects of one's life go throughout his day. I know priest always talked about that when I was training in seminary, but I was like, when's that actually going to happen? And it happened not too long ago for myself. Doing anointing, baptizing someone, and having a marriage prep all on the same day.
Wow.
It was pretty
crazy. Like, yeah, that's pretty much all the big mm-hmm. big points of life, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
But just, yeah, being a part of what the Lord has given to us through Scripture, and now we're actually in the person of Christ, and to give spiritual healing, to give physical healing to those that are not on the deathbed, but like right before surgery or dealing with a long-term illness. We really hope those things, that grace prepares them for death and turns their heart to the Lord and prepares them to meet Him.
Right. And that's a good point, you know, about how the different, when we do anoint, you mentioned before surgery. When else have you anointed somebody?
I have anointed someone
in danger of death. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Before surgery, what else?
Danger of death. I would say we also anointed when we go to the homebound. Which is just we give communion to them from First Fridays, and we just kind of help remind them and strengthen them that you are not alone, that Christ is here. Receive that grace. Receive what we come and visit you.
Yeah. So old age would be one of those times.
Yeah, old age. There you go. Right.
Point. Let's see. You know, but the church says serious illness. So have you ever anointed anybody with the common cold?
I have not anointed anyone with the common cold.
I think that's probably one that doesn't fall under the category of serious illness.
And if the illness gets worse too, right?
Do what?
And if the illness gets worse, if it's the same illness.
Right. Yeah. So sometimes people have, blood pressure issues and they're hospitalized. They get better and then they got to go back in the hospital. Mm-hmm. Better give him a little bit of anointing. Sure. A little relapse.
A little bit of the anointing.
A little bit, yeah. Or maybe a double dosing of the spirit, huh?
Mm. Mm. That sounds good.
But you know, one of the issues that we kind of run into, and yeah. I'd imagine it's the same everywhere, is sometimes, you know, we don't know everybody who's sick.
Sure.
You know, so we don't know. We know the people in the community. We know a lot of them, but mm-hmm. we can't know everybody, and we definitely can't know everybody who's going through a lot. So right. I like that line in the letter of James where he says he should summon the presbyters of the church, not let the presbyters come and find him.
Right. That's a huge line.
Yeah, it is. Just to encourage, you know, everybody to call their parish if, you know, they're about ready to have surgery. Mm-hmm. If somebody's in danger of death, try not to wait to the last minute, because we're not just sitting by the phone waiting for a call. That if things are progressing that way and the illness is serious, just go ahead and give us a call.
Yeah, we'll try to be there as quickly as we can for sure to help you out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Have you had some midnight calls?
So we don't have a hospital that we're, I guess, assigned to. The one in Portland, that parish priest out there, and then Coldwater is right next. The Coldwater Hospital is right next to Holy Trinity, so we have not had any late night calls yet, at least not that I know of. I mean, we had like a 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock thing, but nothing that woke me up from being sleeping. Do you guys have you had anything like that yet?
Well, we get some from we've got a couple nursing homes in Walmart, so we'll get some of those sometimes. But yeah, the late night hospitals, most of our people go up to Lima. Mm-hmm. So it's,
Sure. And I don't know about you, but some people like just find out they're need chemo for cancer. They just found out they had cancer and stuff, and they want like a blessing and stuff. I usually just say, hey, what about the anointing of the sick, to kind of give them the sacrament, and not just a priestly blessing is great, but I think the sacraments of the church can really help strengthen them as they endure what they go through.
Yeah, and that's like, I always think that's probably like one of the primary graces. You know, we talked about preparation for death is mm-hmm. one of the graces, mm-hmm. but the gift of the Holy Spirit to give strength, to give peace, to give courage, and to renew our faith against any temptations of discouragement. So it's like that healing of the soul, healing what's going on the inside, so that we can be the saints and endure whatever, you know, because chemotherapy is just a bear, you know.
Yeah.
People need all the strength they can to persevere.
Definitely.
I guess. Yeah. That's a great gift of this sacrament.
And the priest want to give it to you, but like you were saying before, we just have to know that you're in the situation so we can give it to you. We can't just go and read people's minds sometimes.
Right.
Like people, I don't know how small the town is around you, but in small town areas, people seem to know when things aren't going well, but it doesn't always reach the priest. So we can go and help them out. So it's great for you to actually come to us and talk to us about it, not just have Joe Schmo down the road and tell us.
Right. Yep. That's exactly right. So, you know, one of the other graces of the sacrament, and this is just like fist pumpingly awesome, is to unite our sufferings with the suffering of Jesus Christ, to basically graft us onto his cross, configured to him. And we can say with St. Paul, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And as you're sick and you're going through all that, it's really the suffering Christ is in you. Isn't that you? I mean, I visited this homebound lady who's got, she's rather young to be homebound, but mm-hmm. she's got really bad rheumatoid arthritis.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, she says, I just offer it up and I become our Lord's suffering servant. And I thought, oh
wow,
my God.
Wow, that's powerful.
The strength, the grace. It's like, man, that's beautiful.
Yeah, that's a big term called redemptive suffering.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's no point to just take the suffering and make it a waste. You can offer this up with Christ for those that need prayers. They're battling in different situations. Help people come back to the church and just let the Lord work in your life, in your suffering. It's amazing to hear, but very powerful when it's actually done in action.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. So you got anybody lined up to anoint later today?
No one lined up later today. Since today is First Friday, Father Ned did the rounds of communion and anointing of the sick.
But you never know what a day will bring, huh?
That is true. You never know who's going to call up and what situation is going to happen in someone's life. But like today, we received the blessings of the throats through St. Blaise. It's amazing how like there's all these other patron saints out there that kind of cure disease and illness and stuff, but we don't do it at the Mass to kind of bless the throats and every other illness. But I don't know how St. Blaise gets that high priority of the blessing at Mass.
He'd probably say the same thing. He probably says, how am I on this?
You know? I mean,
he's one person from a fishbone, and now he's everybody knows St. Blaise is the blessing of the throats.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I would love to ask the intercession for all the saints. It's just cool that we're continuing someone's life from he died in 316.
Yeah.
It's amazing how the church just keeps on going through and works organically through the people.
Yeah. And you know that throat blessing, you know, we take two candles and like tie them at the ends with a ribbon and then make a little like a little V and you go up to the person's neck.
Mm-hmm.
Did you light your candles? I always wanted to do that.
We did not light our candles. But I hear one time they did, didn't they?
Really? Well, I'm sure they did.
Oh, well. Maybe that's Lucy. They put the candles on the girl's head or something. She's supposed to walk around.
Oh.
Because she's the light of Christ.
Okay.
Luke's is Latin for light.
Right.
There's all kinds of crazy traditions. Not crazy, but cool traditions that the people of God have kind of taken from their patron saints of the different areas. I think that was in Norway that Lucy's wears this crown of light.
That's awesome.
But also, there's like the U-shaped cross. Like, it's not cross, but it's specifically made for the blessing of St. Blaise.
Oh, really?
Like, there's a handle on it, and then the candles come to a U.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
Might have to eBay that one.
Yeah. I think Father Z was talking about that one year when I was in seminary trying to make everything correct.
Yeah. Nice.
And now we're priests. And we just try to get the job done.
Who would have thought? So, well,
is there anything else that I think we covered everything about anointing the sick?
Well, I'm sure there's always more.
Sure. I mean, that's the things that come to mind for me.
Yeah.
But don't hesitate to ask us questions about the anointing the sick and come to us if you'd like to receive that sacrament. I love performing the sacraments and using what the words of Jesus Christ has given us to help bring them to other people through the sacraments.
Amen. Those sacraments, celebrating them, you just realize, you know, how much of you just have to be an instrument.
Sure.
You know, Mother Teresa called herself a little pencil in the hand of God. Mm-hmm. And I know I feel the same way because it's really God doing all the heavy lifting. I'm just showing up with some words, my thumb, and then some oil. But you know, it's a little generosity to be there. Mm-hmm. But the Lord does incredible works through His sacraments, you know, and He just anchors Himself in our lives and our sickness, our pain, and comforts and consoles, and prepares us for eternity.
Amen. Well, Father Sean, I want to thank you so much for coming on and getting out of your busy schedule to talk to us about the anointing of the sick. I want to thank everyone out there for listening to this podcast, The Chat with Father Matt. If you have a subject that you would like me to discuss with my fellow clergy or other people that show up, feel free to email me at vicar@fullrecoverycatholics.org or message me on Facebook at Full Recovery Catholic Cluster. Also, we're on iTunes, so please rate us on iTunes so we can try to get this podcast out to the masses. Thanks again for listening, and be sure to tune in again next week for The Chat with Father Matt.